And now we turn our attention to Richmond, where lawmakers are more than halfway through their legislative session. And that means it's crunch time for members of the General Assembly, who spent the week finalizing all the bills in the House and Senate before sending them over to the other side of the Capitol. And here to break it down for us is our own Michael Pope. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you, Luke. It's great to be here.
And thank you for deciphering all this for us. So this is the week when all the House bills crossed over to the Senate and all the Senate bills crossed over to the House. Now, why is that significant?
Well, the chief significance is that there will be no new bills that will emerge this General Assembly session. Basically, everything that's going to happen has already emerged. And as you said, all the House members are now looking at the Senate bills and the senators are now looking at the House bills. One thing that we're probably going to see a lot of is the governor pulling out his veto pen and vetoing things. Like, for example, the Republicans have passed legislation to defund abortion clinics, to crack down on sanctuary cities, to have public funding go to private schools, to require photo IDs for absentee ballots. These are all things that the governor is likely to veto at the end of the General Assembly session. So I asked Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, about this particular phenomenon of awaiting the governor's veto pen, and this is how he responded.
You know, anything like that, anything that interferes with women's access to reproductive health care, the governor will veto, and I'm glad he will.
So what does that say about this session, that people are spending so much time and effort on stuff that is sort of ill-fated to begin with?
Well, it says that they need to focus on our economy. And that's what Governor McAuliffe and Attorney General Mark Herring and I have focused on, making sure that all Virginians have economic opportunity, no matter who they are, no matter where they are.
Now, Luke, as you might imagine, Republicans do not share that view. I talked to Republican Majority Leader Kirk Cox about the governor breaking out that veto pen, and he responded that the General Assembly has actually taken decisive steps way beyond anything the governor might veto. This is what he had to say about that.
I think if you look at the majority of things that we pass, they are bread and butter issues such as curtailing regulations, innovative stuff in higher ed like online new models, totally redoing financial aid. There are a handful of bills that probably deal with, you know, those types of issues. You see probably more bills coming from the other side of the aisle, obviously, on those types of issues.
Now, if that sounds like a stump speech, it's because it is. This is an election year. Virginia has those odd year elections. So all the members of the House of Delegates will be up for election and or re-election later this year.
Well, speaking of elections, one issue that was hotly debated this week is who gets to vote, right? I mean, what happened there?
Well, this is a very contentious issue that sort of centers around this idea of former felons. You may remember last year, the Governor McAuliffe had this very controversial move where he restored voting rights to hundreds of thousands of former felons. And the Republicans did not like that. And so now they're in the process of essentially taking power away from the governor and giving it to the legislature in terms of who gets to actually restore these voting rights. So there was a hotly debated Senate discussion about this week. And Senate Republican leader Tommy Norman took the floor and he talked about barriers to access to voters. This is what he had to say on the Senate floor.
That barrier already exists. That barrier exists because you broke the law. You broke the law. And that's what creates the barrier, not any Senate joint resolution.
So as you can see, this is an emotional debate on the Senate floor. And there's one aspect of this that's really interesting, which is that if the Senate passes this potential constitutional amendment, the governor doesn't get to veto it because it goes directly to the voters. Now, there's a few more steps because the General Assembly would have to pass the same thing again next year. But assuming that this gets out of the General Assembly this year and it gets out of the General Assembly again next year, the governor will not be able to veto it and it will go directly to voters.
Well, it does sound like there is a lot happening there in Richmond, Michael. And we thank you for joining us to give us an inside look into the General Assembly.
Thank you.